All right, guys. Hello, and welcome to episode 5 of Utopia to Me. With me, Chris Locke. I'm your host and interviewer and whatever you call it, Podcast Jones. And I'm sitting here, and I'm really excited for today's interview. I'm going to get right to it because it's a long one. We hung out and chatted for a long time because it was so much fun. You guys are going to love it. It's Brent Butt, Canadian comedian extraordinaire, one of the funniest stand-ups I've ever seen, plus creator of the Corner Gas hit show here in Canada. And, yeah, so we're really excited. We're get right to it. For the most part, don't want to make a huge intro, like I said, but I do want to give one shout-out to my wife, Kathleen, who is in Winnipeg right now filming a TV show. I just want you to know that I'm wearing sneakers in the house, and I feel really guilty about it, but they're clean on the bottom. I swear, I'm not tracking dirt through the house. And people listening, I don't want you to think that Kathleen would really get mad at me about that, but just in case, I just want you to know I'm wearing sneakers in the house, and I feel bad, and I hope you're doing well in Winnipeg, okay? So two messages, that message out of the way, and the message of Brent Butt is coming right up. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy. I had a lot of fun doing this interview with Brent, and you guys are going to have fun listening. Enjoy. Thank you. All right. That's it. I just hit play or record or whatever.
Yeah, one of the two. You got a 50% chance of wasting an hour and a half here.
I know. Thanks so much for the dinner, by the way.
You're very welcome. Is this part of the show, or is this preamble?
This is preamble, so no, it's not a part of the show. But
I don't want to burn a lot of hilarity before...
Be hilarious. Yeah, wait for a bit, please.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here with... my guest today is Brent Butt. He's sitting on my couch in my living room. Canadian stand-up extraordinaire, owner of the Corner Gas Station... and soon to be Corner Gas Station, the movie, and Hiccups, and all kinds of tours across Canada. One of the best stand-ups ever of Canada, and he's here. And say hi, Brent Butt.
That was a good build-up. That you was a hell of a introduction. You were like Ed McMahon or somebody there, whipping the crowd into a frenzy.
An even more drunk Ed McMahon.
You're like Ed McMahon, but to the next level.
Yeah.
Which is one.
Poor guy. He's still alive, right?
No, he's long gone now, Ed McMahon.
Oh, because if he was still alive, I would say poor guy.
He's dead. He's long dead.
Lucky guy.
Don't you watch TMZ?
Only when they...
All the cutting edge
only when
showbiz
they
have... reports.
Yeah. Oh, I get really excited for when they show footage of Drew Barrymore smoking in a parking garage.
Do they do that? I don't watch
I saw
TMZ.
That once.
Yeah. My wife will watch it sometimes. She finds it quite entertaining. She gets a kick out of it. But I'm not a big fan of the TMZ.
Yeah, there's a few ladies I know that are unabashedly...
A lady I know.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, that's an old tune.
Led Zeppelin?
An old Zeppelin tune.
And she's buying stairs that go somewhere?
Yeah. So there's a lady that you know.
Well, no, there's ladies I know that ironically... and unashamedly love celeb news.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's so weird, sort of.
But it's whatever, you know. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't claim to get it.
Yeah.
But whatever blows your hair back, you know.
Yeah.
But it's weird that, to me, it's weird, anyway, that it's an industry, like, just, you know, kind of finding celebrities coming out of a IGA or whatever.
Yeah.
And say, hey, you know.
Yeah.
I heard you got a little tipsy the other night. What happened there with that? And the guy's like, he's trying to get to his car.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I don't know, man. I just had a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
On my back. And then we're like, oh, I'd like, we're consuming that.
Yeah. We're like, where was he tipsy?
And you don't even get the whole story because it's not like you're digging into the backstory of any of the stuff on TMZ. It's always like a 7 second, they're bothering somebody on the way to their car.
Yeah.
You know, coming from getting their lip injection or whatever.
I know. The real thing about... Oh, can you keep the mic just a little bit closer? I'm nervous. I did one recording with Tom Henry once, and my mic was too far, and you can hear the room, and I got embarrassed.
You hear the room?
Yeah.
Why are you embarrassed of your room? It sounds awesome, your room.
Well, if you keep the mic too far away from your mouth, you can hear the ghosts screaming in the room.
I think people might tune in for that. I think you might be denying yourself an audience here.
I don't know if that's the audience I want. Just kidding. I want all kinds of colors of audience.
By the way, how deep into this show are we? Like, what, have you done like 7 shows or 12 shows or 4?
I'm trying to figure by the time, because you're 80? A huge name.
I'm just
going to
keep. I'm just going to keep shouting out numbers until I hit the right one.
Dude,
36.
Close. No, well, the 6 part is close. No, the 3 part is close. You're a big name draw, so like you're a celeb.
So you had a couple people on. Iron out the bugs.
I might bump them.
And now that it's now that it's all up and running and you got the kinks out and it's a well-oiled machine, now you bring out the heavyweights like me, the big guns.
Yeah. But also we have to say that the reason I could get one of the heavyweights right now is because you're only in town for a limited time editing your movie, right?
Yes.
So
Corner Gas, the movie. In fact, we locked it today. The pre-picture lock.
Yeah. Pre-lock and then dinner with Chris Locke.
Yeah.
It's a lock kind of day.
And then go see Locke with Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Did you see that movie?
No, I heard it's awesome.
I can't believe that it engaged me the way it did.
It's just him and the guy on his phone
making a number of phone calls. And I thought, okay, my wife was really interested in seeing it. I was kind of interested as a guy who writes stuff to go, how can you write something? How can you even hope to engage me if this is your premise?
Yeah, that captivating for that long.
But it really does. So wow. I want to watch it again now to just kind of, now that I've seen it once, I want to study it a bit and go, why is that so engaging?
Well, I'll watch it even just because, like, yeah, that aside, the amazing writing and everything, and he's an amazing actor. Tom Hardy's also one of those actors that I watch, and I'm like, damn it. And then I do push-ups for like 3 or 4 days after I watch one of his movies. You know what I mean?
I never had that reaction at all. Nobody's ever made me do push-ups. I can't wait
Tom
till
Hardy,
I find my guy who's going to inspire me.
When you find your guy, you'll be like, what am I doing?
I do chin-ups like crazy. There's a lot of guys make me do
for chin-ups. No reason?
Chin-ups. I'll see like Jim Parsons. After a hilarious episode of, I can't think of the name of the show, Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I do about 50 chin-ups right after that. I get inspired.
Wait, look
Mr.
Bernadette's on the
Mr.
couch.
Mr. Bernadette.
She doesn't know I have
sofa.
This equipment here. Oh, crap. My cat just ruins my life.
But you can edit all that out, right?
Nah.
You can.
I'm
not saying you will. Or
I have the capabilities. Do I have the...
Are you willing to do the due diligence to make this fly?
I don't know. You know what? I want people to listen to this years down the road and be like, see, people were real back then. They mentioned the cat that was bothering them.
You're revolutionizing show business with your podcast.
Do you have a chin-ups bar in your house?
No. A lot of what I say in your podcast here today will just be a load of crap. I don't think I could do a chin-up. Like, maybe I could bang off one. But, I mean, I'm a pretty heavy guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I have a bit of arm strength.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of arm wrestling.
Oh, really?
I couldn't bang off a lot of chin-ups. No way. Maybe do one. That would be my...
One over the top was a huge hit?
I'm the reason it was a huge hit.
Stallone saw you and was
I've been in a couple, like, tournaments. I did a couple tournaments.
Are you serious?
I didn't go very far in the tournaments, but...
Have you ever met the comedian Dylan Gott?
I don't think so.
Comedian? Oh. He is really good at arm wrestles. He beat like 10 of us at the Comedy Bar.
At once. You were all pulling.
Yeah, once. We all formed one arm. It was the grossest thing.
Like, it's some kind of weird Transformers thing.
Yeah.
Some GoBots.
My face just looked like a terrible muscle.
One big thumb. My face is the thumb.
That'd be so funny if Transformers just turned into a broken arm on the ground.
One arm. How are you going to defend the universe?
But you really did them for real. You did the tournaments for real in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, like a couple of them. It wasn't like my gig. I didn't go around doing it, but 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I took second place in a small tournament.
That's amazing.
And then got my ass handed to me in a bigger tournament.
Oh, shit. Where was that, in Australia?
It was on good guess. You had a 1 in 7 chance of nailing the continent, and you did it.
Yeah.
No, it was also in Canada.
Arm wrestling.
I've arm wrestled
a colonial.
I've arm wrestled two different Canadian heavyweight champions.
Is that true?
Yeah, and it's a whole different. You can't believe how strong these guys are.
Yep.
Like I think that for especially the one guy that I arm wrestled.
Yeah.
Well, both of them really. I think there was no difference in their mind between arm wrestling me or arm wrestling a 1-year-old. Like I think it was just
yeah.
they had the same amount of effort.
Yeah.
Almost unaware.
And then they adopted you after they beat you.
They were almost unaware that they were arm wrestling me.
Yeah. Like,
that's such a different level of arm strength. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
It felt like you were arm wrestling a statue, like a guy, like somebody had made a bronze or a marble statue of a guy in an arm wrestling position.
Yeah.
You know how much you could move that arm? Like zero. That's what it felt like.
That's amazing. Did you say sorry after you lost?
No, I started laughing because it's like it's almost inhuman, you know?
Yeah.
This level of power.
Physically, they were way bigger than you too, or they were just
they were
awesome.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, the one guy was like he had to be 400 pounds, the one guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's quite fat, but he had all this muscle underneath that. And then the other guy was, he looked like a pro wrestler. He was like in fantastic shape. Big guy, about 6'6".
Why did they even make you do it?
Well, they didn't make it. Was like they were, because they're the big league.
Yeah.
And I was twisting in like these smaller tournaments. And so sometimes they would get the big guys to come around to kind of help promote it and build excitement about the thing. And so it's kind of like you had the opportunity to go arm wrestle these guys.
Is arm wrestling big in Saskatchewan?
It's big everywhere, man. Where have you been? It's the sport of the future.
Yeah.
It's going to take over from darts, I think, in terms of popularity. Darts is really popular, though.
Isn't that funny that darts is the... we joke about darts, but darts is a thing where when you get to a certain level, there are guys like the statue arm wrestler guy of darts. Yeah. I'll just look at you and just like hit bullseyes like nonstop. Yeah.
Like 9 bullseyes in a row.
Yeah, and you're like, or just sorry, like, sir.
What number do you want me to hit?
Yeah.
And then they just hit, you know.
That's crazy. Well, this is all a good setup.
I thought you were going to say, well, this has been fun. Like,
yeah.
We're done.
This is the shortest one ever because I just have to pee again. No, I think it's a good setup for describing like in your perfect utopian world, which is the premise of this podcast for the most part. What kind of do you see sort of like a physical activities a lot like happening there, or what would you like to do? This is a blank slate. It could be anything.
I would like to live in a world where I had a lot of opportunity to play hockey, like you know, just for kicks, like for like I'm not very good, like I'm a goalie, but it's fun, you know. I like to strap on the pads and. But it's always, you know, you got to hump yourself across town somewhere and you got to get a bunch of guys. And it's kind of, so kind of in a perfect world, like if we're just talking about physicality, the physical part of my perfect world would be I could easily go do something physical and fun, like play hockey.
Yeah.
Like I could open my door and there would be a rink, you know, and I could sit down and put on my gear and play. And it would be easy.
So is it a cold world or does it just have a rink?
No. It's not a cold world. Yeah, it's artificial ice.
You play in T-shirts?
The perfect world would be like 24 degrees all the time.
Yeah, like autumn. Nice autumn weather.
Yeah, because it's warm enough. You still like just shirts and a T-shirt is fine, but you're not sweating at all.
Yeah.
Unless you're physically exerting yourself, which I would only be doing during the hockey games that I play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weather-wise, 24 degrees. That's my ideal temperature.
That's nice. And so there's a lot of buddies in your land that like to play hockey with you. Yeah. Like all your buds are there.
They would be just hanging out there.
Yeah.
Just guys kind of sitting around waiting for me to show up to play hockey. Whenever I opened that door to the rink, they'd be like, oh, is it game time? Are we playing now?
Yeah.
And we'd have a quick game.
They're robots.
Well, I don't know what they do when the doors close. Well, that's up to them.
I love that. I'll have to have them on the show later
to get to the bottom of this.
What do you guys do when you're not waiting to play hockey with Brent?
The crazy fantasy guy who owns the world that you live in.
That's awesome. Yeah, hockey would be... I haven't played in a long time. I wasn't really bad. I was average. I was left wing when I played. But the one time I played hockey... the one time I played goalie, sorry... our team lost 9-1.
9-1.
And all of my team, no one was sympathetic towards me. They were like, you goddamn idiot. I just didn't.
Had you misled them? Like, did you say, I'm probably a pretty good goalie, I should play?
It was more like.
Because then you got to wear that.
Yeah.
But if you.
No.
If you're like, well, I'm not very good, I'll try.
Yeah.
Then they should.
Should I give it a shot? And like, no one else, they're like, sure.
Well, then. You know, screw those guys then. You're a hero in this story to me.
Thank you.
You're the protagonist of this little adventure.
Yeah, exactly. If this was a movie, Denzel Washington would play me.
Now, speaking of Denzel Washington,
yeah,
this is off topic, but
it's totally fine.
You know, he's got this movie coming out called The Equalizer.
Yeah, is that basically
by the time
same
you
one?
Get this all edited and everything, it'll probably be out for 2 years now. Because these shows take a lot of time to put together.
Yeah, I'm going to be in front of this audio for quite a while.
The post-production on one of these shows is quite onerous. But so he's got this movie coming out called The Equalizer.
Yeah.
Is that based on the old TV show?
That's what I was wondering. And to be honest, yes, it looks like it, in my opinion.
To be honest, yes, it looks like it, in my opinion. You're like a political lawyer. You're like some greasy dude's lawyer.
Yeah, I'm not going to say.
I'm not committing to anything.
What
I
was
don't
the guy's
think,
name?
Maybe.
Edward something. Edward Woodward.
The original Equalizer guy? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know his name.
Because he was in the original 1970s version of The Wicker Man. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No, I did not. I never saw the original or the remake.
Don't worry about the remake. Actually, a lot of people say the remake's funny because Nicolas Cage is absurd. But, yeah, it seems like it.
I used to like that show, kind of. The only time I saw it, though, really was... There was a guy he wasn't really a, you know, he's a guy I knew. He was more like buddies. He was like a friend of a friend. But anytime we were over at his house, his day was waiting for The Equalizer to come on. And then we all had to shut up because The Equalizer was on. And so we'd watch it. I always enjoyed the show. I liked the premise of the show. Like he's a skilled special services operative or something.
Yeah.
Who... is retired, I guess.
Was he a fully vigilante or did the police know about him?
No, he was completely, he lived in the shadows. And
it's like a polite version of Death Wish.
Well, it's like a single guy, A-team kind of thing. Because he would help the vulnerable. I can't remember how it is you got a hold of him. If you were in trouble and you needed help, you could get a hold of The Equalizer just like through the newspaper or something. I don't know.
I think what you do is... If you're being mugged in an alley, what you do is you smash a Coke bottle on the ground, and he hears that.
And why isn't it just scream, Equalizer? Equalizer! And he comes running.
And but the robbers always like, ha ha, what are you doing?
Why are you yelling that?
Yeah.
But he was like 65, though, I think. So it's kind of like this old dude who's got skills would come and help you.
Yeah. He was the Equalizer that put... Equal in his coffee because he's old and he has to be careful.
He's diabetic.
That's why they called him the Equalizer.
He's going to equalize his sugar levels.
I like how your friend was like the sisters from the Marge's sisters that they had to watch MacGyver, but his was the Equalizer.
But his was the Equalizer, yeah.
Did he always have a cigarette after?
I can't remember. I don't think he smoked, that fella.
That's good.
Yeah, I think we've all learned a little something here today.
Well, I think
about
that's
not
like,
smoking and helping the vulnerable.
Well, the very pilot episode of Equalizer is him shooting a bunch of smokers.
So it was inspirational to my friend.
Well, in the 80s, that was revolutionary.
You could smoke anywhere in the 80s.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoyed a phase of my life where I enjoyed the tobacco.
Me too.
But you got to quit because it'll kill you, right?
Oh,
but I have a cigar every now and then.
Oh, really?
Like,
yeah.
I have the guys over and play poker, or like if I something celebratory, like I thought, part of me thought, oh, I should get a cigar for tonight because we did the pre picture lock.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of not, it's part way done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's
But I'll have
like,
a cigar celebratorily. Is that a word?
Yeah, I think you should. So in your utopia, I forgot we were.
Well, in your utopia, tobacco wouldn't be harmful to you at all.
I love that. Because I was smoking a pack a day before I quit.
Yeah, it was. It's. I like everything about it except the poisoning you part of it, right? And the killing you part of it. Everything else, I was on board the idea of.
I know. Like before I quit, I would lose my every winter. I'd lose my voice almost for a week or two because of all this congestion and
stuff trying to get out of your system.
I like how you're laughing.
So close to death.
Well, being a comedian and smoking, oh my God, it doesn't, I mean, you know, like I remember this is like the early 2000s. I remember selling some CDs to go buy cigarettes. That's when you're like, this is the dumbest thing.
This is the worst.
I'm going to miss this Primus CD. You know, like,
yeah, there's no real upside to it, except it was just very enjoyable thing to do.
So in your world, we're all just smoking fatties, fat cigars and Cuban cigars and Marlboros.
And no downside, no health side effects.
I love it.
And the
all
same
these guys waiting to play hockey with you are just like James Dean's, like yeah. leaning up against posts.
They're all having a ciggy like they did in the 40s in the NHL.
Yeah, yeah. Did they smoke while they played? No way. But
oh,
they,
yeah.
Did
like,
they smoke
in the
70s, box?
Like Guy Lafleur would smoke in between periods in the dressing room. A lot of the guys would.
That's amazing.
Got to go have... Like Guy Lafleur said on his comeback when he was like 40 or something and came back and played for the New York Rangers, he said yeah. he was going to cut down to like cut down on his smoking.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't going to quit. He's going to cut it back a bit because he's making a 40-year-old
yeah.
run at the NHL
That's
again.
A stipulation on his contract.
Unbelievable.
Only a pack a day, Guy Lafleur. That's crazy. Are you okay?
But it's also, there would also be no downside to you. Like, you could eat whatever you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, you could be completely, I guess it just comes down to, I'm getting towards kind of hedonism.
No, but that makes sense. It's most people's ideas. I don't want people to feel like they have to be diplomatic with other people in this land. I want it to be there perfect. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, that's what it is. It's a lot of, like, just, you know, being able to eat whatever you want and not have any side effects. Like, you could just say, yeah. you know, I'm having another grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Like, you've had eight today. But
what are some of your favorite dishes that you would want there?
I think they all involve cheese, like cheeseburgers, chili cheese dog,
oh, yeah.
pizza, of course. I mean, it's hard to beat cheese just in terms of, and there's a lot of variety of cheese, so you're not getting sick of it. You're not having yeah. to have the same thing all the time.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I love cheese so much, and I've gotten to the point, I don't know what's happened lately, but I know it hurts my stomach sometimes, and it makes my stomach upset. But in my mind, I'm still like, even though that's happening physically to me, I'm like, so, cheese is the best.
Cheese still rules. Yeah, it really does. So you could do all that kind of stuff. I like yeah. Like a fried egg sandwich with cheddar cheese
yeah.
on toasted white bread.
Tomato?
Not in the sandwich so much.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to okay. squawk if it's there. Like if you made me one and brought it over and had a tomato
no,
in
no,
it.
No, I'll hold the tomato.
I would, you know.
I would never do that to you.
But, no, if I was just making it, I would just have cheddar and egg. And yeah. On white toast with mayonnaise or like Miracle Whip.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had Miracle Whip? Do you have any in the fridge right now?
No, I don't. We have a crappy mayonnaise. Trust me. I
can't
like
remember,
Miracle Whip better.
I can't remember.
But Miracle
last
Whip
time.
Was the one where the people were. I liked it too because it's got the one. It's the one with a zip.
Yeah.
First of all, that's I want a zip basically on everything I eat. But sometimes when you pull out Miracle Whip, the mayonnaise people are like, "Why are you eating that? That's not real." It's like, and then you read the fine print of Miracle Whip, and it says salad.
What salad dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But it tastes delicious.
Yeah.
It's
what is it made out of that makes everybody so upset?
I don't know.
Science.
People get upset too easily about things.
I know.
It's funny
people?
How, like...
They're not in your utopian world.
Like, as a society, maybe I shouldn't be lumping everybody together. But sometimes
no, but they're
it's,
all
funny
idiots.
How, it's funny how... worked up somebody will get about something really inimportant and insignificant
yeah.
and how blasé they can be about like a huge horrible tragedy in
yeah.
the world, you know?
Oh yeah.
I'm like that all the time. I call myself on it sometimes.
Yeah.
Because there'll be some horrible god awful tragedy in the news and you're past it and you know.
Most of the horrible god awful tragedies in the news we can't even compute. Like, it's too overwhelming. So then we get mad about mayonnaise.
It has
right?
to, an outlet, has to have an outlet somewhere.
Yeah.
No, there
it's
might
like
be some
mayonnaise
validity.
Shot down this plane outside of the Ukraine. And no.
Yeah, do you ever, like, now I'm just interviewing you for, like, my own psychology podcast that I have going.
That's what, you can borrow this.
Can I use your gear?
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes... Like, even on Twitter, like, I'll be on Twitter, and people will be outraged about something. Yeah. And I just can't, I don't know, part of me goes, I'm not playing that game.
Yeah.
And then part of me goes, well, are you just not playing that game because you're a big chicken, like you're a big coward, you don't want to stick your neck out. But more, I mean, I think I asked myself that legitimately, but I think more the answer is that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Like, I'm afraid to, like...
Before having an opinion, you want to be an extreme expert.
Well, yeah, or not extreme expert, but at least have a lot of the nuts and bolts of what's going down. And I don't have the time or inclination to learn everything about every topic that's out there.
Well, there's an aspect about people that when they react emotionally right away, it makes them look vulnerable, like they're not in control. So you don't want to be like one of those guys, right? Like, you know when Clint Eastwood rolls into town and they can't read him? You want to be like that on Twitter.
Yeah. They don't know where I stand.
Yeah, it's like,
they got to mind their P's and Q's.
Yeah, it's like, what do you think about Israel-Palestine, the stranger?
Yeah. I want to be more enigmatic. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that. Like all these global conflicts and stuff. And then, and every time, you know, part of it, maybe I'm just a little dim and I'm too, like, intellectually malleable. Because on any given topic, like... Mm-hmm. Whatever I've read or heard last, I agree with, right?
Yeah.
So during the course of a debate, like if I'm watching two people debate something on television, two genius eggheads who know everything about everything, mm-hmm. but are on the wrong, are on opposite sides of the coin. So how can they both know everything? But there they are. They both know it all. And they're arguing about something. Whoever spoke last, I'm on their side. They seem, geez, they made some good points there. I think
that's so funny.
He's made a good point. And then she'll rattle something off, and I'll go, oh, man, no, she made a good point there. I think she may have him on this one.
When someone tries to debate you, you just throw your arm down, and you're like, let's arm wrestle.
I want
to
respond physically. Can I respond physically, please, as an alternative?
So in your utopian world, then, I guess.
It would just be dudes arm wrestling. Shirtless dudes arm wrestling all day.
Waterfalls and shirtless dudes arm wrestling.
Cheese sandwiches.
Cheese sandwiches are good for you, and we just arm wrestle.
The winner gets 10 cheese sandwiches, and the loser gets 9.
But I think that's interesting about how you are have anxiety about these kind of, like, to a little degree, about, like, these kind of, these global conflicts that people seem to, they can make their stance, and they can be confident about their stance, but you want to be objective to the last minute, basically, right?
Yeah, but I don't know why.
I kind of get that.
Part of me goes, is it because you're just cowardly, right? I go, well, maybe. I could see where that might be the case. I like to think it's not the case.
I don't think so.
But
that's me taking a stance.
Good work. I like it. You just gave up your objectivity so quickly. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing to kind of try and remain objective and try and listen to the other side.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, there's extremes where it's hard, like with the Westboro Baptist Church or whatever. You're like...
Yeah, they just seem like dicks.
You're like, I can't...
I have an easy
the only
time
thing you can kind of objectively see about where they're coming from is it's unconsciously ego driven for them because they're ashamed of their dicks or something. You know what I mean? Like, otherwise,
recruit.
Yeah, yeah.
They hang outside YMCAs, places where people have just showered publicly, and they say, "Hey, are you ashamed of your dick?
Yeah,
we have a church for you.
We have a graveyard for you to pick it."
Because I don't, I don't know how you can get behind anything that's like, how do you not recognize how overtly just nasty that is?
Then maybe in your utopian world, people are inwardly more comfortable with themselves that other people, allowing people to have their own opinions is totally fine. It doesn't have to be an argument all the time. It's just an understanding that people have these different perspectives and you're comfortable with who you are. And so who cares?
Who cares? One of us could be wrong here. That's what I feel like people should say. Like, if it was really intelligent people debating, they would kind of have this as they debated, and they both believe what they believe, but they would be doing it with a tone of almost like, I hope that you are able to prove me wrong here. Almost, you know, it's like, it would be ideal if everybody that debated had the truth in mind. If the end goal was not to win the debate, which is really what it is right now.
Right.
Like people, you find like politicians, the people running the country and stuff. Oh God, you got me on a soapbox now. Look out, Nelly. But doesn't it seem like they kind of the truth is unimportant.
Yeah.
Maintaining the job is what matters.
Yeah.
And if you, like, you're kind of getting caught in a lie, or you're starting to see how your, whatever your stance is as a politician, has a soggy bottom and is about to fall apart, they would, instead of saying, oh, you know what, I've seen the light here. You've shown me a side of this I didn't anticipate, and I think I'm starting to agree with you now. That they can't do that because of the job. They can't afford to do it. So a lie, for example, is just a big fat lie is where they go to.
Yeah, like for example, Mitt Romney cannot break from supporting the things the people that support his party support. Right?
Yeah.
Like he can't like break from spouting whatever rhetoric his sponsors
paid
for him to say.
His job is to try and deliver at any cost the stuff that the political backers have paid for.
Yeah, being like a...
But that's not just him. That's anybody, right?
Yeah.
That's every politician out there. If you don't do that...
It's like being a lawyer for a guy that's obviously guilty.
Yeah. Look, this is the job.
Yeah. It's like, okay, how about... He was
but
insane.
The truth would be the thing, I guess. In my utopian world, the truth wouldn't be something to be avoided, which it often is now because it's the truth hurts.
But the truth is objective.
It'll set you free, though, they say, right?
Oh, yeah.
There are a number of truth-based cliches out there.
Yeah.
We could spew off here. But the truth seems to be kind of a thing that is certainly easier to avoid it. you know, it's easier to go, oh, I'm just going to be glib on Twitter than try and get to the bottom of something.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good point. Like, that's what those sort of things, those rants, Twitter rants seem like. They seem like they're personal, there's a deeper motivation with the person to send it. It's not just about the point they're trying to say on Twitter. It's not, I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable sometimes because I feel like they're not just promoting the thing that they're passionate about. They're like saying something about themselves, like they're like a genius or
trying
something.
To tear down people who disagree
or something. Yeah, or like maybe being the devil's advocate. I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? Yeah. Those guys.
Well, we got to the bottom of that. What's the next topic for? we ironed the wrinkles out of that.
You know what? We just go back to talking about cheese for a while.
I don't want to stick my neck out on this cheese business, but...
No, but I like that. I do like... But yeah, it is weird because the truth is subjective, so then everybody will be like... Maybe what you want is however you're feeling on the day... No one disagrees with you.
Yeah. I just issued kind of a memo.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking. Here's where I stand on this today. Don't offer any conflicting opinions. Yeah.
And then you leave your house and they're like, hey, Brent, hockey today? And you're like, maybe.
We'll see how I feel.
What is your house look like? Where do you live in this place?
Well... I've lived in Vancouver like 21, 22 years, something like that now. And for me, it's kind of utopia for me right now. Like I can't think of a better place to live. I think someplace like Hawaii, I think I would get, I don't know. I think that kind of tropical thing would wear thin on me. Because Vancouver still has seasons. But it doesn't have extreme cold. Like, it doesn't have minus 47, like, that kind of hurt you cold.
Yeah.
And it gets hot, but it doesn't get, like, 110.
Where are you in Vancouver, can I ask?
I'm in the Kitsilano area of Vancouver.
I've heard it's very nice.
Beautiful, beautiful area. And
big trees
around greenery everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of trees in this urban space is unbelievable.
I was thinking because...
There's a beach right in the city. Like, you know, the ocean is right there in the city.
I know.
And they've done a fantastic job of maintaining that. And
because you guys don't have, like, hard rains as much, what you guys have, too, this is why the vegetation is so lush out there, is because instead of getting, like, a downpour rain a lot of the times, you get this, like, sort of mist that's almost like the same mist that goes over produce at like a grocery store, right?
Yeah.
And so then you get all these beautiful, lush trees and bushes just because you've got the produce mist like every now and then.
Big juicy tomatoes everywhere you look. Yeah. Heads of cabbage on the boulevard.
Now that's a juicy tomato. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I think
so. You like
my
that?
House?
That's a real nice Canadiana look too, right?
Yeah, I mean, those there's big trees giant there. Trees everywhere, yeah. And mountains, and there's kind of there's got a ruggedness to it, but it's still a metropolitan center. Like anything you could think of it, that you need is there, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of best of both worlds. And I just fell in love with the place. Like I always say, I never moved to Vancouver. I just never left. Like I went there and just didn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
So my utopian world, my house would be there. My
yeah.
house would be in Vancouver.
That's cool.
But I would travel a lot there too. I would go and see places.
Yeah.
I like going to other places, but having my home in Vancouver.
Okay. So basically, you're living in your utopia right now?
Yeah, I pretty much am.
Minus the ice rink?
I do have a lot of
I mean, really,
fried egg and cheese sandwiches. Who am I kidding?
But if you have a... Yeah, exactly, that's what I was going to say. Like, do you not eat a fried egg and cheese sandwich?
No, but you'd be able to have nine without having your chest explode, right?
Yeah,
that would be the so my utopia is kind of like the world I'm living in now,
yeah.
Except more of it with no
consequences. That's totally fine. I like that. That is good. Yeah, because some people get fantastical.
But I'm kind of in some regards, I'm living my dream. Since I was a kid, I wanted to do comedy,
yeah.
And do TV and movies and do stand up,
mm-hmm.
And. I'm doing that.
You really are. And which is hard to do in Canada. So you've really
had a goddamn dream here.
Yeah. It seems like it. Lucky duck.
I'm a Chris Locke
look
sofa.
At me. Look at me. I got a cat looking at me. Doesn't respect me at all.
Cats aren't going to respect you. Don't get a cat if you're looking for respect. Because that's not something they're capable of.
That's what I said at the pet store. I was like, will this respect me? The guy lied to me.
This cat's middle name is Respect. But it goes by Disdain.
What is something... okay, so you got the food.
And tobacco. Food.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt you. Which is... That's a little extraordinary. That's not what
maybe
we're like.
Maybe it says a lot about me that I want a world with no consequences. Does that say something about me?
But you don't want...
It is awesome?
But you don't want, like, no consequences. You don't want it to be, like, the purge where people can kill each other and they don't get punished for that.
No.
You just mean...
You can't hurt anybody. Don't go around hurting anybody.
Yeah.
But you could... You could have these pleasurable things that in real life have a lot of downside.
Yeah.
But I think it's maybe says something about me. I don't know what.
How long have you been happily married for?
Well, happily married?
I realized.
I got married in 2005.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations, 9 years.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's hard to do the math.
Wait, did you guys get married right when the show started?
Not when the show started. We met.
Did you meet on the show?
Yeah, we met doing the show, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. And then you got married shortly after.
Yeah.
It was a whirlwind romance.
After season two.
Yeah. Whirlwind two-year romance.
Yeah, that's right. 2 years of spending 17 hours a day together.
Well.
And it just happened.
Now I'm gonna see, like, okay, I'm going to take a risk here. Are you...
Remember, you are living in a world with consequences.
I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's there in this utopian world?
My wife is? Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife is the nuts and bolts of it. We do a lot of stuff together in my utopian world.
I mean, this is no disrespect to her. I'm just saying, some people are like, oh, I'm going to be in these major orgies, and it gets real Caligula.
Yeah, that's not the hedonistic route that I go. It's really about cheese and tobacco and food.
Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of us that are not secure enough, even in our imaginations, to let loose in an orgy.
It seems like a lot of pressure in orgy, doesn't
it?
Like, I don't see where that would be.
Yeah.
To me, that's not something that I would go, oh, man, alive. You know what? You know what I would love to get in on? Is like a bunch of naked people wiggling around on each other and
like sweaty.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, I said this before, but I remember even when I was younger and I learned of the concept of orgies, I always thought I probably would just find the one I like the most and stay with that one.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, it is like, I don't know. What are you going to just slip and slide all over these? Like,
yeah, I don't know. The concept isn't appealing to me. So it would not be part of my utopian world.
I think that's really nice that your wife, Nancy, right?
Yeah.
Plays such a big role, even in your imaginary utopian world. That's very nice.
Well, she's the bee's pajamas. Like, we have, without getting corny or maudlin, or maybe it is corny, but we have a hell of a good time together.
No one's
listening. We really enjoy each other's company, and we crack each other up, and we like similar things. We both like watching old movies, and we kind of, I don't know, we just get along really well. We enjoy each other's company.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of the reasons we got married, for God's sakes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think, like, we got married a little later in life. Like, we, you know, we got married, you know, late 30s. So,
yeah.
We had been in relationships before, but neither of us wanted to get married before.
Right.
Right. And so we just hung out. We wait until you find the perfect person.
That's the same thing that happened with Kathleen and I. We're in our early to mid 30s getting married. It's actually our 1 year anniversary tomorrow.
Fantastic.
And she's in Winnipeg, and I'm going to be in Windsor.
Well, why don't you ditch the Windsor thing?
I really
get on a plane, rocket to Winnipeg, and surprise her.
Yeah. I'm probably going to do
this
that.
This podcast isn't live, is it? She's not going to hear
no,
us
planning she'll never, this. She'll hear this mid-September, maybe. I love well, you, Kathleen.
At least she'll know that I was thinking about getting you over to Winnipeg.
But this is true, right? You're at the age in your 30s where you know who you are. You know what you want. It's none of that, like...
You know what you don't want.
You know what you don't want, more importantly, yeah. But actually, I've had a few compliments. This is me being like a dang... I hate talking like this, too. But, like, I've had a few compliments about my stand-up over the past year from people that like how nice I am about my wife when I talk about her in setups to my jokes.
Right.
Because most guys are like...
There's a lot of, like...
You know,
people bashing their spouse, you know.
Yeah, I don't get that. Maybe
I guess I get that it's an
easy laugh.
It's an easy laugh. But, like, and I'm all for it if it's authentic. Like, if it's really, like, you're having trouble at home and this is, oh, my God, I've married the wrong person.
Yeah.
You know, comedy can be very cathartic and get it out. But if it's just, I don't get, like, if you love your spouse, but you're like, I got to go down and put on my I hate my wife hat for this gag.
Yeah, that's
weird.
You're exaggerating, like, one little thing, like, that could ruin your relationship just to make a bunch of drunks laugh.
Yeah, I don't know. I love when comedy has some element of authenticity to it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's why people appreciate that kind of stuff, because you're not taking the easy route and you're being vulnerable. And then you hit them with the 1-2 punch.
Boot in the wheels when they're at least expecting it.
Okay, so I really like that. Your wife, Nancy, is there, and you guys are enjoying...
And our dog, Oliver.
Oliver.
I miss my dog when I'm away.
Yeah?
Hell, I did not expect to...
How long have you been in Toronto now?
Coming up on 2 weeks now.
2 weeks. How old's Oliver?
5.
You've had him for 5 years?
Yeah, we got him when he was 2 months old.
Oh, wow.
He was...
So is she sending you pics or what?
Yeah.
Like, look, here's Oliver missing you.
Rubbing my nose in it.
Yeah.
Ivan Decker sometimes look after our dog when we go away somewhere, and he'll send us pictures all the time. That's awesome.
That's good. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Sometimes when I'm on the road for a while...
You miss Ivan Decker?
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Well, when I go on the road, I'm out of Toronto, but I usually ask... Ivan, to look after your dog.
It's nice of you to be so thoughtful and worried.
That's why he shows up at the weird hours all the time. No, but I Skype with Kathleen, and then she points the Skype camera at our cats, and I really try to see if they just can get the idea of Skype. Like, it's me. I'm here. I'm on Skype, you know?
They're not going to get it.
No, they don't. They don't. I think they sort of, like, their ears perk up when they hear my voice, but I don't think... Do you think they even know it's my voice still over the computer? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like a wolfman knows we're talking.
Wolfman, you know.
She's it's nice. Welcome to cat chat.
Welcome to cat. Okay. What? Well, I hope we're not running out of steam too early. It just seems like, you know, sometimes people create these magical, and you're like, my life with more sandwiches.
That's really, it's about it.
It really is.
Tobacco and sandwiches. I should be able to. No, but it's not. But it's all about the no
anything
consequence.
More illicit than tobacco? Would you ever try anything crazier with no consequences?
I don't know if I.
Have you ever done acid?
No, I've never done acid.
Me neither.
Never, I'm not a drug guy, really.
Because you whole, like your brain, right?
I do enjoy my brain. I enjoy how it, you know, works and everything. I'm not, it's not fitzing and farting around. If you're lucky enough to have been given a brain that doesn't have like any obvious hang-ups and it works, I don't know if you should be too abusive to it. But I mean, everybody's got to do what what floats your boat.
Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting somebody else, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. So how would you then? Say
like some of my best friends are like they love the drugs, right?
But they can do it.
Yeah, and it doesn't affect them negatively, really.
I know. I have some friends that can do drugs nonstop, and I'm actually envious of that. But I just know I can't do it. What about like okay? Limit. So now you're in your perfect setup. Okay, hypothetically, Vancouver. You're in your exact same house. Everything's...
I'm in a different house. Our house isn't perfect.
Like, basically, a lot of my guests that come on this so far haven't fully fulfilled their dreams. You have to understand, okay? So usually it doesn't wrap
up. I'm not
up.
A good guest for this premise of your show.
No, you're like, yeah, Mr. Perfect. Like, my perfect utopia? You're looking at it, baby. Okay, but say you're, like, in your Vancouver home.
Uh-huh.
Nancy, Oliver... Lots of cheese sandwiches. Buddy's just waiting to play hockey. But crime does happen.
Okay.
Like someone steals some hockey sticks. Someone ruins the cheese factory. How do you deal with that?
But if this is a utopian world...
Don't say the same police officers that I have in my neighborhood.
the guys who play hockey with me are all trained Navy SEALs.
Yeah, that's actually good.
No, but why... If we're building a utopian world here...
Why would there be crime?
Why are people blowing up the cheese factory? That
well, that's
happen.
Up to you.
They don't need to. If I'm in my utopian world, nobody needs to steal anything because it's all there. It's becoming... I'm a communist is what it turns out. I'm learning about myself.
Well,
it's not a communist. It's like that Star Trek kind of... The Star Trek kind of whatever you need is provided for you, and then you know you still have motivation of like moving up the ranks of the Federation or whatever, you know, so you still have human motivation.
Yeah, I like that in the original Star Trek, they'd go to a planet and realize, oh, we took for granted how easy it was to have cheese on the Enterprise.
That would be me in front of the replicator. Just time. How about a sharp cheddar? How about a nice gooey Havarti computer replicator?
Well, okay.
But you know, like at the... I don't know if you ever saw the show Boston Legal. I only saw a few episodes of it. And
was James Spader in that?
Yeah, James He's Spader and William Shatner.
William Shatner, yeah.
And I only saw... It was like a big show for a while, for a lot of years, I think. Mm-hmm. It ran for quite a while. And then I never got into it. I was on, and then I saw a couple episodes, and I liked it.
Yeah.
But at the end of every episode, they kind of... Spader and Shatner go out and sit on this balcony that's on this, you know, high-rise office building overlooking the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they have whiskey and cigar out on this balcony.
Right.
And they just kind of shoot the shit about the day and what they've learned or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
That seems very attractive to me, to go sit mm-hmm. down with somebody close to you, have a cigar and a whiskey out on a, you know, overlooking the city and shoot the shinny for a while.
Yeah. Do you have a patio or balcony at your place?
You have a deck out
a
back.
Deck?
And then a backyard that has a nice little seating area and stuff.
Do you have
I
a
love
good
our
view?
Backyard. No, our backyard is like just trees and jungle around. You don't see anything. You just see straight up.
But it would be beautiful to have a cigar and whiskey there.
Oh, I forgot we're talking about the utopian world.
Yeah.
Are you saying in my perfect world?
Oh, no.
Or in real life now?
In real life because you already said your house is the best.
No, this is where I live is the best, but the house itself needs work.
Oh, okay.
The house in my utopian world is not the house that I live in now.
Oh, okay. Then tell me what's different, please. But before we get into that, let me ask you.
I thought you were going to do a sponsor.
Yeah. But before get into that, Coca-Cola.
I don't really have a favorite, but I have I'll tell you the one that I buy usually because I like a small cigar because I don't want to be smoking for 40 minutes, you know? If you get one of these, these guys spend big money on a big cigar and then it's like, holy God, that's their night. They got to work that thing.
I get those little Monte Cristos.
Yeah, Perritos. Monte Cristo Perritos.
Yeah.
That's what I buy. And they're like a 20-minute smoke.
And what
15-minute smoke.
I agree with you. I haven't had one in a long time, but I get those. What's the whiskey?
I like rye whiskey, Canadian whiskey.
Yeah.
So I like a 40 Creek. I like some of the classics, Crown Royals.
Yeah, Canadian Crown Royal Club. Is a classic. Holy, yeah. I think that's one of the first ones I tried because I nipped it from my dad.
Yeah.
And it had that beautiful, like, it had the bag with the sack
the
around it and everything.
Purple velvet bag.
Yeah. Awesome. You like Jameson by any chance? You like Irish whiskey?
I don't mind it, but I don't go to my way to have it. As far as whiskey goes, I really like rye whiskey. And then I'm not a big Scotch guy.
Yeah. Scotch is the one that makes you a little angry for some reason.
Well, everybody's different. Everybody gets affected by different. Rye does that to a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people have rye and they just become mean and nasty and want to fight.
I like a single malt Scotch whiskey, like a Glenfiddich or something.
All right.
I mean, like,
that's valid. I can't get on board though.
No,
I've tried the Scotch. I've tried all kinds of Scotch because people who really love Scotch, they can't wrap their head around the idea that you don't like Scotch, especially if you like another kind of whiskey.
Yeah.
So they want you to smarten up and like Scotch, idiot, right? And so they start buying you shots of. It'll be a good scam if you like Scotch. Pretend you don't like Scotch, and then people will buy you all kinds of expensive Scotch. Try this one. You'll like it. Because that's what I've had friends do. Some of my friends are really into Scotch, and it doesn't sit well with them that I can't get on board.
Weird.
And so they'll give me Scotch. Or they'll go, try this one.
Yeah.
Nope.
There's a few places that have opened up in Toronto that are, you know, have menus, long selections of different kind of whiskey. It's pretty cool. For some reason, I just don't consciously go to rye. I don't know why. That was a nice like a Dr. Pope. Zeus.
I like how shocked you were when the two words accidentally rhymed.
Yeah.
You were like momentarily, legitimately stunned for a moment. Oh my God. Did
every
you see
time
what
I
happened?
Rhyme by accident, I hope I didn't unlock some sort of vortex to a demon world. I don't like rye. I don't know why. Come with us. Oh, Jesus. that was the perfect rhyme. I don't know. Maybe I've watched Evil Dead too many times. But yeah. Rye. Okay, so I'm going to try 40 Creek next time I'm out. And what's Maker's Mark? That's a...
It's a bourbon.
Bourbon, yeah. Yeah, see, I...
See, all that stuff, like, I don't mind bourbon, but I'm not going to... I don't order bourbon. My go-to thing is rye.
My go-to thing. Yeah, we're turning into rappers here by accident.
My go-to thing.
I don't know why I don't like rye, but what's your go-to thing?
But
yeah,
and then I also like, like a beer, like a lager, like a pint, a nice frosty pint of clear lager, or
clear
pilsner.
You don't like the hoppy stuff?
Not really.
Yeah, too bitter.
Yeah, I like. What I'm learning about here's what I've learned about myself through your podcast is I'm really a guy who I don't want a lot of. Taste. I don't want strong opinions about things. Can't everything just be smooth and edgeless? Can't just obtuse? I like a nice obtuse life.
It's a very Canadian utopia. You are Canadian.
Really? Well, I am Canadian. I know that. But there are a lot of guys who are very Canadian who aren't like that at all. So I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe I'm thinking of like the polite, easygoing.
Yeah, the stereotype.
Cliche.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm being stereotypical. I'm wearing a toque right now as we're talking.
Yeah, it's
Your
true.
Your listeners can't.
And it's snowing in my living room.
I have snowshoes. Got a big stack of flapjacks beside me.
Yeah, we're wearing beaver pelts. So the patio that you described, that's not the one you have now. Or you were describing the one you do have.
Yeah, the one I have now. our backyard, there's a little seating area and a little kind of a table where you could eat a barbecue or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, but it's a lot of greenery. It's lush trees and bush, and it's like, I feel like I'm in a tropical island back there or something. It's a fantastic place to go sit down.
But that's the real one.
That's a real one.
So what do you want to change about that?
No, This is an ongoing contention. Like, we love our backyard. Our house isn't right.
Right, okay.
There's too many rooms. It's an old house, and it's chopped up, and it's tiny. And I would...
Do you bump into walls a lot?
Constantly, nonstop, bruising.
Yeah.
I would like a big, open kind of thing, all in one kind of... And I would also have a nice, big room where I could have my music set up, which I do have now in Manitoba.
How do you listen to your music?
But I mean, play like with my guitars and drum and keyboard and stuff.
You have all that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's what I want.
I'm living your.
You
utopia.
Are you jerk? No, honestly, a lot of my motivation to become successful in my life is to have like a studio to jam in.
Yeah.
Like that's like.
What do you play? What's
like that's
music?
In my contract?
Do you, your life contract that you made with yourself?
Yeah. Must have studio. Well.
Do you play guitar? Do you play?
I play everything by ear, okay? You know,
yeah,
like
I'm
I was in a punk band in high school, so all I had to do was do power chords. And
that's all a guy needs, power chords.
That's what I feel. And then, you know, I play everything by ear. We had a piano in my house, and I tinkered with that. So, and I can play the drums. So I would like to, like, make a really gritty, shitty DIY album or something with real instruments.
Well, you can do it with GarageBand now.
I have made music with GarageBand.
How does it sound? I've never done it.
There's some things you can do that are okay, doable. Yeah.
You must be able to do like crappy, grungy punk stuff, can't you? Just grind it out on there, powering it out on there?
Yeah. I do it all with my mouth and a beer bottle. But do you have buddies you jam with in real life?
Not really, no. Although I was jamming today. Isn't it funny you bring it up?
Yeah.
The editor on the Corner Gas movie, Craig Webster.
Yeah.
He plays guitar very well, sings very well. And he brought a couple guitars to work, and we sat down and we jammed for a while. And so, and it was like legitimately jamming. Like just kind of, he would do some stuff and I would do some stuff. And when I was doing it, he would follow me. And when he was doing it, I would try and follow him.
Yeah.
But he's a much better player than I am. So he was able to follow me easily and effortlessly.
That's awesome.
I had a hard time keeping up with what he was doing. But we had a nice little half hour jam session.
That's fun. That's good. Yeah.
I'm living the damn dream. I'm telling you.
I know. It is funny. Yeah. Because.
I'm feeling good about myself. I didn't realize how much I had it going on.
See, that's another aspect of this podcast that I'm trying to convince people. It's like, no, you will feel better.
You might learn a little something about
yourself. It's cathartic. It's a little bit like therapy. I think that's really great. And can I ask you something? Do you have, like, you have drums, guitars. What else do you have?
Keyboard. I'm missing a bass. I got to get a bass.
Okay. So have you ever recorded, like, overdubbed? You know, put one track down, then overdub, like make a full song. Just you playing all the instruments?
Not all the. I've done like just with guitar. I've done that.
Oh yeah,
where I play like three different guitar tracks. You know.
Yeah.
Like a rhythm and a lead and a something kind of
and one that's
kind of bass walky. You know.
Oh yeah.
Kind of. It's not on a bass guitar, but you kind of play the bass line. You know, on your open E or on your E string. You know. Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So that's there. You already have that.
I guess I'd have a couple more hats. Perfect world.
More hats.
I'm
the hats aren't bad for your health in this world either, right?
You know how, like, in this life they'll kill you?
I can wear a fedora and no one will bother me.
I've had this fedora that... I've had for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And it's traveled with me everywhere. It's been to Singapore and Australia with me. And,
whoa.
And Italy and France. It's
Does
been
it have
everywhere.
Stickers all over it?
No. Like Bugs Bunny's suitcase.
Yeah.
No, but I didn't realize how long I'd had this hat until somebody asked me where and when I got it. And in retelling the story, I realized, oh my God, I've had this almost 20 years. And it's now over 20 years that I've had this hat. And it's in fantastic shape.
Awesome.
I've taken it to all these... This is a big burp in the middle of that conversation.
I've taken it
all these countries, and it's never got smashed or squashed.
Yeah.
because it's like a straw fedora, you know.
So that's pretty amazing.
It could easily get busted up.
So it's not a street vendor straw hat. It's like you must have bought it.
It was at a haberdasher. It was a proper hat maker's hat.
Like a Gurren Brothers thing. Do you know who those guys are?
No.
They're popping up.
They sound like thugs.
Yeah.
Gurren Brothers.
I don't trust them. They sound like somebody to avoid. I think, yeah.
Don't go down there. The Gurren Brothers are down there, man.
Yeah, I don't trust them. When you buy their hat, you end up, unbeknownst to you, smuggling drugs into other countries.
Their hat band is just full of drugs.
Is that a Gurren Brothers? Yeah. Yoink. Thanks. Yoink. Mission complete.
Wear 200 grand on your head, you idiot.
Yeah, that's good. Because I had one of those when I was in Washington. I was telling you about that earlier, actually. I bought like a sort of strawish, summery hat, fedora like that. And it was destroyed by one rainfall.
Yeah, I've maintained this hat very well. But I need hats because I'm essentially bald on top. And when I started losing my hair, there were a number of summers in a row I had to learn the lesson of you don't have anything up there anymore.
Me too.
And I kept burning my head. And
we have like a sort of similar hair pattern, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I got really bad, like headaches even from the sun. Not just sunburns, but my brain would be affected by not wearing a hat.
Your brain is starting to boil inside. Yeah, you need, if you have no protection up there, you got to have a hat of some kind, right?
Yeah. And even in the winter.
My ears burn really easily.
Yeah.
So I like to have something with a little brim on it, but...
That's good.
Mostly I wear ball caps.
Yeah. Who's your favorite baseball team?
I'm not a big baseball guy. I mean, you know, I want to say Jays because I'm Canadian and they're the one Canadian team now, but yeah. I also... the Cubs, they invited me to throw the first pitch out at a Cubs game down at Wrigley Field, so I went and did that. So now I have kind of a fondness for them. But I don't follow baseball. I saw a clip
of you doing that on the George Strombolopoulos show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I got to get that because I don't have any footage of me doing that.
It's on YouTube.
Of me doing it?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Wow. I got to look that up.
Yeah.
I think you might be full of shit because I YouTube myself incessantly.
Non-stop.
That's about the bulk of my day. You know what I did do the other day? I was trying to find some kind of picture of myself to do this little graphic thing.
Yeah.
So I did an image search. And so, like, Brent Butt image search. And, you know, a bunch of the images of me came up. But in the middle of it, there was one picture of Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, Gyllenhaal, yeah.
Why would he be in the middle of... I was trying to think, what was the... internet connection between, like, if you search Brent
I think
images.
Lucky enough for you, there's some girl out there that thinks he's Brent Butt.
I don't know how that benefits me at all.
Yeah, it's on her blog or something.
But yeah, I'm glad.
I thought you were gonna say there was like people superimposing your head onto like porn pictures or something.
Well, I haven't gotten that far.
Corner ass. Like, you know.
Oh, that's probably out there. Now there's something to look for.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Plus, I don't want to give people ideas what to do with that. But no, it just caught me as funny. Like 50 pictures of me in the middle of Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. But even like the picture of Jake Gyllenhaal looks like, what am I doing here?
Why?
He knows. It's like the Brady Bunch when they all look around at each other.
But he's kind of he's more concerned than they are.
What? Yeah, he's like,
who is this dude?
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, the only thing Google Alert has taught me is how many more Chris Locks there are on the planet. It doesn't work for me. There's like a famous internet scientist named Chris Locke or something.
Internet scientist.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, me neither.
Was an occupation.
Me neither. That's why I'm not that one. No, he's like...
What's involved in being an internet scientist?
He's a famous blogger or something like that. What is it? Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that sucks. But I think on Google, I might be... For search-wise, I might be getting more famous than him now. Finally. It's been years of being
face.
Like... Yeah, it's been years of me not being the famous one.
Eating his dust.
Yeah.
If they came down on you tomorrow and said, look, there's already a famous internet scientist named Chris Locke, and you can't be trying to get famous with the name Chris Locke.
Yeah.
You have to change your name. Have you given any thought as to what you would change your name to?
Well, I actually looked up Christopher Locke because that's my birth name. Christopher is my birth name. Oh, there's a few angles. Christopher is my birth name. So Christopher Locke, there's like some...
So you would change your name
musician.
Chris to Christopher? That's not a big leap.
Yeah.
You're bugging me about my cheese sandwiches.
there's a musician in Guelph or something named Christopher Locke that looks like I do not want to be confused with him. Yeah. My real last name, my birth last name, my real dad is St. Pierre. So I was born Christopher St. Pierre.
You got the famous fighter now.
I know. Man. One time a security guy at an airport was like, because he saw the St. Pierre part of my passport and was like, oh, are you related to George St. Pierre? And I was like, yeah. Of course, look at me.
I could choke you out right now.
Yeah.
See, that's another guy. I met him. I met George St. Pierre.
Oh, really?
And we were going to get our picture taken together, and I put my arm around him, and he's another dude. He felt like a statue.
He
felt like he was made out of bronze or something. It didn't feel like I was touching another human being at all. He was so, like, and he was completely relaxed, just hanging out, and he was just a ball of tense muscle.
Yeah.
Those are just different dudes. Like
he was in a movie I saw recently, I think.
Yeah, he was in Winter Soldier, Captain America.
That's
Winter
it. Soldier. Yeah, he plays yeah, those guys have no ounce of fat on them, right?
And also, like, the toughness is off the charts. Because when you watch these guys, one of the things, like, there's a lot about UFC that blows me away.
Yeah.
But when a guy will get, like, just a clear, clean punch right in the sweet spot, right in his jaw, and he doesn't go down. He, like, eats it, you know, shakes it off, keeps coming.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm like, how does that not just put you in the hospital?
When a guy,
because it's not me punching you. It's a guy who knows how to punch really, really hard.
Have you ever seen that stuff when the one punch does take the guy down?
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay, that's what needs to happen. Their skull needs to ripple like a pond. Like, you need to actually make the bones wave. Like, it's so crazy.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll just shake it off, you know?
Yeah.
And like, oh, yeah, you got me a good one there.
Okay, instead, I'm going down. Yeah.
Your head should just explode, right? Like a bag of candy.
If those guys punched us.
Did you ever hear Boyd Banks used to do that bit about if George Foreman ever punched me?
No.
He used to do this great bit about if George Foreman ever punched him, how he would be a totally different person.
Yeah.
Whoever you knew as Boyd wouldn't be there anymore. And he would have...
That's amazing.
He would have no peaks and valleys in his biorhythm at all. It's
that
such a funny bit.
That sounds like, from what I know of Boyd, that's like his least controversial joke I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah. He's got some dark, edgy stuff.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of the wrong guy, the listeners don't know, but we were talking about
the wrong guy. They're going to think they missed a chunk of the show.
Yeah, they're like, oh, shit. When Boyd works at the gas station... And the guy in Colm Feore shows him the picture, and he's like, yeah, that's the guy, all right. Are you sure he's not an idiot? That's the best. Anyways, yeah, sorry. You guys don't know what we're talking about. But the wrong guy with Dave Foley and written by Dave Foley and Dave Higgins, Brent and I both agree that that's the most underrated, super funny comedy movie ever.
I laughed harder at that movie than... Like, and more often than any other movie I can think of. Like, maybe Talladega Nights, I laughed pretty constantly through Talladega Nights. Yeah. It made me laugh a lot. And The Wrong Guy, you know, at least as much as
it's a crime. I think I might have even met Dave Foley once and told him that it was a crime. Because I'm so affected by how much I love that movie and how little people know about it. Anyways. It's getting really sad now.
Let's talk about other things that confuse us and hurt us.
Well, Corner Gas is going to be huge.
The Corner Gas is the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's we have a lot of... Because
you have a huge fan base.
We had a huge fan base. We were a very highly rated television program. Number one in Canada for a while. It's cool. I keep meaning to frame this. I see it every now and then in my office. This paper from when they give the Nielsen ratings and the BBM ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And for the week where Corner Gas had its finale, it's the number one show on television. So it was like Corner Gas, and then it was CSI. And
Are you serious?
House and all the American Idol, all the big shows were below Corner Gas.
That's very nice.
For our finale, we were number one ahead of all the American shows.
That's amazing.
Number one show on TV.
You have to frame that.
Yeah.
When you retweet one of my tweets, I get a bunch of new followers. And then about a week or two, they drop off.
We were misled.
Yeah, they're like, this guy's insane. He lucked out on that one that Brent liked. I like that, though. I like weeding out people.
You don't want them to be there if they don't want to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people get really, like, if somebody unfollows them, they kind of get their nose at a joint and they want to know why. And yeah. It's always puzzled me. Like, people go, like, sometimes, like, there's two people that I follow, and you kind of see their conversations, right?
Yeah.
And if one of them unfollows the other one will be like, hey, what's, why did you, it becomes like a real.
Oh, yeah.
Point.
It's huge.
Get that.
You know Mark Forward?
Yeah.
He follows.
Not really personally, but I know who he is.
He follows people, like friends, and then will unfollow them just to play around with, like, people that care too much about it. And so he's followed me and unfollowed me. But then I was like, you're dead to me, like as a joke. And then I stopped following him. But then he tried following me again. And I'm like, there's no way I'm falling for this again. Cause he just likes playing with the medium, like how people care about it. But it is true. Like it does like make people freak out sometimes. Like people really dwell on it.
I mean, I guess there's a part of that I get the notion of, oh, I wonder why. But to like to chase it down seems weird to me, or to get like really, pissed off about it.
Yeah. Well, how many followers do you have?
11.
Yeah, that's why you don't care. It's your perfect utopian number.
I don't.
What do you think about the
59,000?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, okay, I don't care if you unfollow me. I still have 59,000 and one. What do you think about the computer stuff? Do you want that in your world? You know how we're all buried our heads in it and everything all the time? And
yeah, I think it's good. I think you got to show a little bit of self-restraint sometimes. But I, all this stuff, like I believe that there is good in a lot of this stuff. Now, there's a lot of crap and garbage, but it's just like, you know, they were saying this about radio in the late 20s, early 30s, when radio became the big, huge thing. Everybody had to have a radio.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, it's rotting everybody's brains and nobody's talking to each other anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because now they're just sitting around after dinner listening to the radio all night. So I need to end TV the same thing. It's full of garbage. And there is a lot of garbage on TV, but there's also good stuff there. You just got to, you know, be a little discerning.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so the internet is like that. It's just that the internet has everything on it, right?
Yeah.
So when people say there's a lot of garbage on there, well, sure. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is on there.
Yeah.
Every piece of garbage ever thought of is on the internet. But also every good idea, every cool thing that's ever happened. And so, you know, if you're a little discerning, like, I can chew through a lot of hours on the internet just kind of, you know, going through Wikipedia and trying to, you know, you start one, like you have one question. You're like, when did Hammurabi live?
Yeah.
And then that leads to something else. And when it leads to something else. And next thing you know, you've read about 20 things that you wouldn't have read otherwise. Or even like YouTube videos. One thing you go, like I had to repair my lawnmower. I had to replace the cord, you know.
Yeah, I'm not very. There was an instructional video on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm not very mechanically inclined, so I thought maybe I'm going to look this up on YouTube, and if it looks like an easy thing to do, maybe I'll try and do it myself.
Yeah,
and it looked pretty easy. So, but I was watching the, and I did it, and I was very jacked up about it. I wrote a tweet about it, how I was feeling so manly because I fixed my life.
I was just
walking around my neighborhood challenging my neighbors to fight me. But while I was watching that, it was like, you know, you see all these other how-to things, and one thing leads to another. Click. I learned how to do, like, 20 things that day that I wouldn't.
And sometimes the instructors are kind of entertaining, too. Like, they're funny, real people.
A lot of the YouTube videos, it's an instructional, like a how-to thing, they start with, hey, everybody, what's up?
Yeah. Hey, everyone.
Hey, everybody, what's up? I'm just going to do a little video here to show you how to do it. But that seems to be the standard. If you're making your own little yourself video, hey, everybody, what's up? That's got to be the...
Yeah. Do they say their name after? Hey, everybody, what's up? It's Brian.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today I'm going to show you how to use Microsoft Word. Yeah, we're all there, Brian.
I know you mean about the Google thing. Like, a while ago, I Googled, is Kevin Costner married? I just had to know. Without the internet, you would just think that forever, for the rest of your life.
Or 1 second and go on to something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're in that sweet spot where you can think about it for 2 minutes and have an answer.
Yeah. And then later...
What was the answer? Is he married?
I can't remember. It is true. It is like a real garbage can, though. Like, but
it's
every
not a garbage can. It's just like a digital version of everything. So there's, you know, if you can wade through a lot of shit, but if you can avoid a lot of crap, though, too.
Yeah. I don't think I do. I fall hook, line, and sinker for everything. BuzzFeed lists.
Yeah, I can be a victim to clickbait pretty easily sometimes. Oh, like lists.
Cracked, yeah, like, where are these actors now? I don't care.
You know? But I'm going to read this and find out.
Yeah.
Cracked. They have a lot of lists.
They're good, though.
Yeah, so
Cracked
a lot
is
of those
like
will suck.
Really
me in.
Weirdly good writers, right?
Yeah, there's some funny stuff.
Yeah.
And interesting stuff.
So, okay, internet, yes. I like how you're a proponent for internet, healthy marriages. And jamming.
I'm taking a lot of edgy stances. I'm for not taking a stance on anything.
In my perfect utopia, just have a cigar and jam, man.
Yeah. Why are you so angry on Twitter?
But that totally sounds exactly right. Like, that's what a lot of people probably would say. A lot of people agree with you.
But I kind of have this...
A lot of people are listening going like, yes, Brent Butt's life, he's right. It is a perfect utopia.
It is. I mean,
except for
I
the
like
clunky old house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of people I find, like, when, you know, when people are getting outraged and stuff about stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you get the sense sometimes that people just, people love getting offended about it. They get excited when they get offended. They're like, oh, hot damn, I've been offended about something. And now I can go sideways for a half an hour. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. That's why I feel like for a person that's not like a, like chosen to be a political pundit for their career or a journalist or a humanitarian or something, but they're just like an average person ranting, I always feel like it's a beard for something else within themselves, like the void, the hole in the void. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they don't know who their dad is. Like, and then all of a sudden they just let loose on a rant about whatever the controversy is. I don't want to... Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like people are... they're just too into getting offended. And even, like, as a stand-up, sometimes... You know, people, like, if they come up to you to tell you that they're offended about something, they come up with, it's almost joyous. Like, they're coming at you with a head of steam, and they're like, you know, they're licking their chops to tell you that you've offended them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they think is going to happen.
Yeah, where does that joy come from then? Validated because, once in my life, yes.
But I also don't know what people think. There's some people think that being offended is the worst thing that can happen to you. Like, they're like, you offended me, and you have to correct it. And you go, well, no, like, it's okay to get offended. It happens all the time. I get offended about stuff.
Well, I think it's calmed down now, but for the past year or so, it was, especially on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, there was this ultra, ultra PC wave that was just like, I don't know, maybe it's the people that I'm friends with, but it was just washing over everything. Like, you can't say this. You can't do this. Like, it was all very righteous ideologies or else. Like, but it was, like, under the guise of, like, evolving to a, like, a, you know, like a...
To a higher plane?
Yeah, of, like, acceptance, but it was the opposite of acceptance. It was really weird.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, like, sexuality and equality and all that stuff are big, like, topics on the internet all the time. And it's good that people, I think, are mostly for fighting for people's rights to be free, to be who they are. But there's some stuff where, you know what I mean? Like, it's like that left sort of stuff where it goes too left, and then it turns into, like, this weird sort of almost fascist argument where the other guy can't be anything.
Yeah. I know
you know
mean.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like where, I mean, and that happens in, like, if you're like in TV or movies or something, if you put, you're putting something together, you'll have an executive whose job it is to, you know, approve what you're doing.
Yeah.
And they'll say, like, you know, there'll be an Asian guy in the scene who's doing something, and the it becomes like a reverse racism.
Yeah.
Where they go, oh, I don't know, you can't have the Asian guy saying something dumb. Right?
Right.
Because then you're saying all Asians are dumb. And you go, I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
This is a dude who's got this part. And the part is he says something dumb.
It's more equality to say, hey, Asians have dumb people too.
Yeah.
Like,
he's just a dude who's saying a dumb thing the way people do sometimes. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It is weird. it becomes.
Has that actually happened to you?
Yeah. That conversation was basically that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know if they should be saying that stupid thing.
That's such a weird thing to argue, because then it's hard. It's so sensitive, because then you arguing for it, like, no, it's nothing. You could be painted as, like, however they want, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you
calling someone racist or sexist these days, it's like a no-holds-barred, you're locked.
Right.
You know, you're just like, okay, I guess I can't say it then, because you said those words to me. You know what I mean? And I am not advocating being sexist or racist. I hate that shit, but... It's like people use them as like a argument finisher, sort of, you know?
Yeah. And it's like you get that with the women, too. People are saying, you know, like in a show, you know, they say the executives, they don't know. They just know that they're supposed to be doing something right, but they don't know what it is. Because they'll be like, you know, the women have to be treated the same as the guys, and you're like, yeah, great. And then you have the woman character be stupid or idiotic or something, and they go, oh, well, you can't have that. You can't have the woman be stupid.
Yeah,
but
it's insulting to women in a way when you're saying like they can't have a comic character represented on TV.
Yeah, it's because it's the guys of. No, but I'm doing the right thing. But
it's like all TV shows just come to that, like. Oven baked pizza commercial where the wife's like, honey, what'd you get for dinner? And the guy's like, pizza, okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be that dynamic, like, all the time now.
Yeah. If you turned it the other way, God forbid, that in this relationship, the wife did something goofy or stupid, that the executives would all be, they wouldn't allow it. They would be terrified because they're going to be, people are going to think they're sexist.
And there will be a few. Uptight people that will probably think that, but you can't change your whole world because someone is at home that's like one of these weird easily like offended people being like, why is this person dumb on my TV? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we got to change everything now.
We would be like, okay, you're crazy. You need to relax. But like producers and stuff would be like, or executives would be like, you're right, ma'am, sorry, because that's the only feedback they're getting, because everyone else that's not offended doesn't give a shit. They're just enjoying the show.
You're right up and say, I wasn't offended by anything, and I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, like, no one does that, right? So, well, maybe, I guess. I love it. You know, some people probably... Well, you would know. Did you get a lot of letters of just a lot of people saying they love it?
Yeah, I mean, the response that we got through the run of Corner Gas was...
Yeah,
crazy positive. You know,
so when you get the ranting 99%. Weirdo, whoever it is, to show them all those other letters, like these letters trump this person or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Got to shut down the show.
Yeah,
this guy doesn't like it.
But for the most part, Corner Gas was a very, like, it's like a peaceful comedy. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice. Like, everyone's kind of. They're ripping on each other, like, in a loving way.
Yeah, I mean, they are. They're you know, roasting each other and lying to each other. There's a lot of lying on Corner Gas.
Yeah.
People lying and keeping stuff from each other. And there was, you know... But, yeah, at the end of the day, nobody ever got hurt, ultimately.
No, it always felt like a family dynamic. Like, you know, family acts weird during the day, and then at the end, they all come together at dinner. Right? And, like, they don't even remember. Like, because they love each other or something, you know? It's like, it's got that kind of nice dynamic.
Well, it was more kind of a case of wanting everything to come back to the start. Because it was kind of thematic of the show that in this town is resistant to change. And so thematically, every episode, you know, you could take it, go somewhere, do whatever, but by the end of the episode, everything kind of had to be back to where it was.
Yeah.
That was kind of the overall thinking behind it.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And then it's also practical in terms of then when you're airing the show and repeats and stuff, they can air it in any order. Nothing's tied together.
Right,
so
right.
There's some flexibility in that way.
But you don't find out who the murderer is at the end of each season.
Do like a True Detective thing.
Yeah.
Like you go to maybe we should franchise it out, like Corner Gas, different towns.
I definitely think you should. Corner Gas, Las Vegas.
Yeah. No, but like it's all different, it's small towns. Like where CSI is all like big cities. So yeah. Corner Gas, there would be a different Corner Gas in, you know, like some little town.
That's good.
Eagle Ridge, Manitoba, you know.
I honestly think that's a good idea. Well,
seems like a lot of work.
I definitely think you should do it. I mean, this movie's going to catch fire again. All the corner, do you call them gas heads?
I don't know. We haven't come up with
it. Come on, do it now.
Nozzlers.
Nozzlers. Hey, Nozzlers, check it out.
Hey, what's up, Nozzlers? This is Brent. I'm going to show you how to check the oil today.
Hey, what's up, Nozzlers? Check it out. It's Brent. So today, yeah, we're going to open the Corner Gas movie. Yeah, I think you should do that. I think that's a good idea.
You're going to show you to operate Final Draft today?
What's a town outside of Miami? You know, Corner Gas Clearwater, like something like that.
Yeah, franchise this thing out.
I like it. If you did Corner Gas Las Vegas, it wouldn't be as fun because the guy would be in a fully bulletproof booth, like no friends.
Nobody coming to visit.
Yeah.
Chat.
The only thing that he would sell besides gas is like maybe cigarettes.
And he'd marry the odd couple that came along.
That'd be awesome, actually.
You could get gas and marry people.
Boyd Banks as weird husband. okay, well, you know what? I don't want you to think that I'm disappointed that your utopia is pretty much a hyper version of what you already got now. I think that's really nice, actually.
Well, that's honestly good. I'm glad. I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about things now since you've talked me through this.
Yeah. Well, hey,
made me realize I got things pretty good, Chris, and I appreciate that.
Well, when this comes out, please promote it and be like, hey, guys, check out how good I've got it.
I like that. Hey, guys, check out how good I've got it.
But, yeah, this will probably be out in about 2 weeks. You're wrapping up. You guys are going to Italy to take a break from all the work on the movie.
Yeah, summer vacation.
That's totally great. No Clue is still out there.
No Clue is available. Yeah,
I checked to see if it's on Netflix. Yeah, but it's not.
It's not on Netflix.
No,
it's on like iTunes and
iTunes,
whatever your local video on demand provider.
Yeah, because Amy Smart's in that too.
Yeah. For those of you watching, he made the Italian guy enjoying a plate of pasta face. He did that's a bellissimo.
For all the Amy Smarts out there listening, I did a kissy face, yes.
Yeah, she was terrific to work with. And David Koechner is very funny.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
So they were fun to hang out with. Although they only were on set together one day. They didn't do any scenes together.
Oh, okay.
So their paths crossed briefly on set.
Yeah. But that's cool. You got one movie circulating. You've got one, basically, what's it called? Locked. It's locked right now?
Pre-locked.
And you're going on a vacation. So this will come out in about 2 weeks, probably when you're back. Are you doing a tour coming up or anything you want to promote? Probably like mid-September?
No. Just follow me on Twitter. That's the big thing.
What is your handle again?
I don't have...
it's just Brent Butt, right?
Yeah, it's just Brent Butt.
Yeah.
And... I didn't book a lot of stand-up because we initially thought we were going to be doing this movie later.
Oh, okay.
And so I didn't book any stand-up for the, you know, late summer, early fall.
So are you feeling a little antsy to get up somewhere?
No, I mean, I'll just go down to the Comedy Mix.
Yeah.
You know, do some local rooms around Vancouver.
Yeah.
Work out some bits.
I got to play the Mix for the first time this year.
Oh, yeah.
I say got to because it was for a festival, but they have to... Because I'm yucks, I had to get written permission to play it. We don't have to discuss that on here, but...
It's weird that's going on.
It's very nice that yucks let me play. Anyways.
He did the kissy face. He did the Amy Smart face.
Yeah, thank you. When I think of, yes. But anyways, very awesome room.
Yeah, I
had
love
the best
club.
Time. It's amazing.
That is a great club.
Yuck Yucks is very good, too. But I also really like the mix.
I'm sure Yuck Yucks is good. I've never been, but I'm sure it's fine. Well, not since 1992 or something.
Wow. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, there's a lot of good clubs
out there. There's a lot of good ones. But the mix is your home.
Go support your local comedy club.
So the mix is your home base. Even if they have a headliner, do you jump on and do a little middle?
Yeah, if they're cool about letting me go up and do spots. And
that's awesome.
Just drop in and do 7 minutes, you know?
That's great.
No, it's a great club. Support your local comedy. Go out and see some live comedy, whoever's listening to this. It's probably just comics listening to this.
You never know.
I
think a bunch of Noslers will find this one. Hey, what's up, everyone?
Hey, what's up, Noslers? how many people, like, download this?
It's brand new. So right now we have just less than 100 subscribers. But honestly, it's out. By the time we're doing this, it's out 2 weeks. But people have been already sending me lots of messages. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's doing well. But by the time yours comes out, it'll be like the fourth or fifth week.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I'll do what I can on my end.
Oh, thanks.
To get people to check it out.
Let me ask you. Thank you very much. Let me ask you this one question. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Me too.
You're a lovely fella to chat with.
Thanks. Yeah. Ditto. I'm so glad we have the same kind of hairline.
Me too.
It really brought us together.
Although it would be kind of cool if our same kind of hairline was a little more lush and full. That would also be cool.
I know.
That wouldn't be bad. But it's real wash and go, though. That's a nice thing about not having a lot of hair.
Is it even wash?
Oh, yeah. Get up, wash it. I'm nothing if not hygienic. I'm hygienic and I'm also punctual. Those are the two things that I got going for me.
I'm just a go guy. It's pretty gross.
It's not wash and go. It's just go.
Yeah. You like my hair? It's go. Well, I had a great time. Thanks so much again for coming on.
My pleasure.
And listen to it again to just whenever you're feeling down, because you will be cheered up about your own life.
Realize I got it good, man.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll get to do shows together soon, stand-ups or something.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Let's do it, damn it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, Brent. And say bye to everyone. And we're done. Say it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And that's a wrap on the Utopia to Me episode with Brent Butt. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Thanks so much again, Brent, for coming on and having a fun time and making it so fun. Also, follow Brent at Brent Butt on Twitter. And he's very funny, and he's always promoting cool stuff. Keep an eye out for the Corner Gas movie that's coming out soon. And just for my own sake, if people, you listen to this week that it comes out, people in Ottawa, if you're listening, I'm going to be there this weekend for the Canadian Comedy Awards, and I'll be performing at the Yuck Yucks downtown Friday night and Saturday night with a bunch of other great acts, so please come check that out. Follow at Utopia to Me on Twitter and at Chris Lock Fun on Twitter and do all that stuff. And otherwise, if not, go enjoy your life, man. Go do a kickflip on a skateboard. Or see how high you can jump, see if you can hit that tree branch that's a little bit higher out of your reach. And that's it. Thanks so much, and enjoy the rest of September.